You've probably heard every back pain solution out there, but did you know it's actually possible to heal your own spine and discs? Disc problems are the leading cause of back pain, and the Uprightly program was built specifically to address them. Instead of masking symptoms or relying on invasive procedures, Uprightly uses science-based spine restoration methods that help you rebuild a healthier spine. And the best part? It's something you do right at home. Your Uprightly coach guides you every step of the way, and they provide the specialized equipment you need to restore your spine, protect it from re-injury, and measure your progress. Many people notice pain improvement in just a few days, but temporary relief isn't the goal. The Uprightly program helps you build a stronger spine for life. And here's something amazing. Many patients even reclaim lost height, with some restoring more than 3 inches. So if you're ready to truly invest in your spine health, Uprightly is the solution you've been waiting for. Learn more at liveuprightly.com. That's liveuprightly.com.
This Mother's Day, give her something she'll truly use and absolutely love. Minky Couture blankets are the perfect mix of beauty, comfort, and luxury. From elegant neutrals to spring florals, there's a style just for her. Say thank you with softness that lasts far beyond the day. She deserves it. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.
Titans trade targets? Might the Titans be looking to upgrade through the trade market? It is possible after they traded for Jermaine Johnson. We got 5 big names to watch, plus Breece Hall franchise tagged. What does that mean for Titans free agency? And where do the Colts stand with Alec Pierce as of this recording? This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the publisher of NFL Draft on SI and the managing editor of Titan Size, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, free agency creeps closer and closer. Thought we might have some news to react to, the Titans roster news. We do not. But we have plenty to talk about. How's it going?
I'm doing well, doing well. Yeah, it seems like the dominoes are falling. You know, today's the NFL franchise tag deadline at 4 p.m. Eastern, or by the time this episode's out, it was 4 p.m. Eastern. We saw some early movement, like you mentioned, I think right off the top. Maybe I'll get into Breece Hall, if that's okay with you. The New York Jets placing the franchise tag on Breece Hall. Emphasis, franchise tag. Not the transition tag that many of us expected it to be. I think I explained on an episode last week that the reports were kind of trending in the direction that they might be the transition tag, which would have allowed a team like the Tennessee Titans, who have Robert Saleh, his former head coach, in the building to negotiate a contract with Breece Hall. Well, the Jets decide to forego that by franchise tagging him. They didn't want to risk losing him. Now, if you're not, you know, polished up on the rules, yes, technically speaking, another team can negotiate a deal with Breece Hall. Nobody is going to, because negotiating a deal with a franchise tag player requires you to pay 2 first-round picks to the team. And Titans, no one's given up 2 first-round picks for a running back. I mean, the Jets, this is like, it's worth $14.2 million, the tag.
Right.
Right? So that's a big number, man. Like, they were willing to, the transition would have been a lot more reasonable. It's only about a $3 million difference, but it does make a big difference in RB salaries, right?
Right.
Like 11 million, whatever it was, 11 point something, 11.7, I think it might've been, or something like that. Pretty reasonable for RB salaries.
11.3 transition tag was the final thing that came out. And this now makes Breece Hall the 4th highest paid running back in the league. It's 14.29, by the way. So it's closer to 14.3. Yeah. Difference quabble there. But the thing about this, Justin, to me is we had this conversation yesterday. Where would Jeremiah Love rank in RB salaries if the Titans take him number 4 overall? Well, he's one more down the list now because Breece Hall jumps him. And you still have guys that, I mean, at least one guy in Kenneth Walker that could, not necessarily will, but could sign for more than what, if the Titans drafted Jeremiah Love number 4, what they would be paying him at that slot.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I actually don't know the answer to this. So I'm going to flat out ask you on the pod. I know this gives them until July 15th to negotiate a deal. They can still rip this up and negotiate a multi-year. Yeah, so the point is, I mean, it's a decision for him to make too. If it's a multi-year deal for Breece Hall, I don't think it's going to be at that $14.3 million figure. I think the Jets, and why would it be, right? Like, if you're the Jets, you're saying what they're going to say is, hey, take more financial security over the next 3 years, but at a lower figure, at $12 million a year, at $12.5 million a year. Or, you know, you could play out that 1 year at $4.3 million. You risk getting hurt. No guarantee your market next year is going to be as strong. So for me, I think this really just buys them time. I think both sides will want to work out like a 3 year deal, and it won't be at $4.3 million per year. It'll be less than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really neither here nor there for the Titans conversation. I agree, like, from Breece Hall's standpoint, he can take the 14.3 guaranteed, or he could get a contract, like you said, a three-year contract with, like, $20, $25 million guaranteed, something like that. It's a more guaranteed money, which is why he would do that for a lower average annual value. But you look at the free agent running backs who are still on the market now after this move. Obviously, Kenneth Walker tops the list. He's going to be the guy that gets the most money, I would assume, whether it's from Seattle or elsewhere. The most recent rumblings around the league are that it will not be Seattle, or that Seattle said something along the lines. I read this yesterday, that Seattle told Kenneth Walker, look, if you want to test the market, if you think you can get upwards of 12, 13, 14 million a year, go for it. And if you find out that your market value is more in the $10 to $11 million range, come back to us, because we'd love to have you at that number. If you'd love to still be here, you know, you did just win a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP here. Maybe this is the best place for you. But if you think you can get $2 to $3 million more dollars a year than that, go for it. And I think that's what I think. Ultimately, he will end up testing the market and maybe probably back and see. I mean, are the Giants, who are like the team that's rumored to be super in on Kenneth Walker, are the Giants going to pay him $13 million a year? That seems pretty crazy. They're already like, they don't have the kind of cap space that the Titans have. You know, they're like having to make decisions on guys like Wandale Robinson and other players because of this. But it also is weird to me how much the Giants seem to want a running back when they drafted Cam Scadabo last year in the fourth round, and he like was pretty instantly good. So whatever. Again, neither here nor there. But the Titans, Jeremiah Love, obviously, if they want a running back, Jeremiah Love might be the best option. You know how I feel about that by now, if the Cardinals don't take him at three. But then there are other free agents, Walker being one of them. Travis Etienne, Rico Dowdle, Tyler Algier, Isaiah Pacheco, Brian Robinson, Rashad White, Kenneth Gainwell, Najee Harris. There's a lot of names like recognizable names there. Guys that I would feel a lot more comfortable if they were part of a committee than, like, you know, Jeremiah Love, I think, can be the guy. All these other guys feel like they lead your committee, and then maybe that's Tajay Spears as the second back, or, you know, Tony Pollard, who knows, he's still on the Titans roster as of this recording, 10:51 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March 3rd. We'll see if the Titans make some roster moves, which is what we're waiting for. Like, this week, is L'Jarius Sneed getting cut? Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, like, what's happening? We will find out, but this is the latest on the running backs. Anything else on this convo, or we can move on, I think?
No, I think that does it. Obviously, it's a big blow to the running back market. I don't think the Titans are going to get into the Kenneth Walker thing. I don't think so. So options are slim, and we'll see what they decide to do there.
Yeah. So let's talk about the other big free agency happening right now, and then we'll get into this trade discussion, which is that the Colts and Daniel Jones have not yet come to an agreement. Again, it is 10:51 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March 3rd. The franchise tag deadline is just over 4 hours away. If the Colts do not work out a deal with Daniel Jones by that deadline, they will, everyone expects, use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones. Why does this matter for the Titans? Because they also have an impending free agent in wide receiver Alec Pierce, who is probably going to set the market for free agent receivers, not set the market, but this year's market for free agent receivers, if he is not back in Indianapolis. There are teams, I mean, people around the league have estimated upwards of $25 million, $27 million a year. The reason $27 million comes up is because that is the franchise tag number for wide receivers. So if the Colts were able to work out a deal with Daniel Jones, then they would likely use the franchise tag, or maybe the transition tag, but likely the franchise tag, on Alec Pierce, which would pay him $27 million for a year. The thing that I get hung up on with this whole conversation, Justin, is that it feels like people have a misconception that if Alec Pierce isn't tagged by 4 p.m. Eastern today, then that means he hits free agency. That's not exactly the case. The Colts have until Monday, I mean, they really have until Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, but, you know, the negotiating window opens on Monday at noon Eastern. If the Colts don't franchise tag Alec Pierce today, they can still sign him to an extension before Monday, and he'll never hit the market, and he'll never be free to negotiate with other teams. So, to me, this conversation is still a little premature. We can have it on Monday if he hits the market, but the reason that it's interesting is because over the course of the combine, a lot of reports came out that the Titans would be very in on Alec Pierce if he hit the market. So a target for the Titans, I'm just still not convinced, regardless of what happens with the tags today in Indianapolis, that he actually will be a free agent.
Yeah, I get both sides, because I think the early expectation, you know, weeks ago, was that they were probably going to use the tag on Pierce. So now that that line of thinking is shifting and that they might actually use it on Daniel Jones instead, it just feels like it becomes a bit more realistic that he's going to hit the market. But I'm with you, right? Like, it's they've still got a week to negotiate a deal with him if they don't use the tag on him this afternoon. It's just a little more realistic, right? Which is why it's creating chatter. If you're the Titans, maybe you're feeling good about this situation because you're saying, hey, we really like Alec Pierce. We really like, you know, Robinson as well. And everyone's expecting Brian Daboll, of course, to want to pursue a reunion there. We only need one of them to hit the market, right? And right. It feels like whichever one does, assuming one does, I think safe to assume one of them's probably going to hit the market, then I think the Titans are going to be ready to make an aggressive offer. You know, and if they get their pick of the litter, even better. You know, they could try to hand pick between those two guys if they're willing to make an aggressive enough offer. But it feels like one of those guys is going to be a Titan next week.
I agree. And I think, you know, if I had
probably
to predict
Robinson,
who...
Right? It's probably yeah. Robinson, but, you know, one of the two.
Yeah, I was about to say, if I had to predict who it would be today, right now, I would predict Wan'Dale Robinson. And in fact, like, I know there are rules against tampering and all that stuff, but, like, it wouldn't shock me if in Indianapolis last week, Robinson's agent and Mike Borgonzi had an off the record, you know, late at a bar or some other place conversation that was like, hey, if your guy gets to the market, you know, keep us in mind. Like, not, they don't have probably like the framework of a full contract worked out, but they probably have a, like, we know what you want and we're willing to pay it. So let's talk it on Monday if things are.
Wasn't it Tony Pauly, an NFL draft insider, Jets insider? I thought it was hilarious. He basically said, I think he wrote something along the lines of like, Titans are interested or would be interested in Robinson and talks are going well.
Right.
Something like that. It was like, talks are going well. You can't talk till next week. But we all know that, as you said, the combine, interesting things happen there in Indianapolis.
And Pauline's not the only one who reported the Titans' interest in Wan'Dale Robinson. The New York beat scene has been on top of it. Matthew Berry put it in his 35 most interesting combine rumors that he heard. So that there's a ton of smoke there. And Alec Pierce also mentioned in all those same reports, you know, the Tony Pauline report, the Matthew Berry rumors, like Alec Pierce and Titans have also been connected. So if Alec Pierce does hit the market, he is probably the Titans' like top target, and they'll probably be willing to pay top dollar for him. And the other part of this whole receiver conversation that is interesting to me is that as I talk about where are the Titans roster moves, like, we fully expect them to make a few more roster moves that could include both signings, re-signings, guys that are about to be free agents, and cuts. And they haven't done any of that yet. Obviously, last week they cut Lloyd Cushenberry and they cut Xavier Woods. But those two guys were, I mean, they were semi-expected, but there are like bigger expected players to be cut. And the number one of them is L'Jarius Sneed, where it's like almost a foregone conclusion. He will not be on this roster next year. Here's what I'm thinking with him, with Calvin Ridley, with Tony Pollard, is there's no real rush. Now, Sneed and Ridley do have additional contract guarantees that will go into effect, but they don't happen until, I think for Sneed, it's the fifth day of the league year. And for Ridley, I want to say it's either the fifth or the third. I'll look it up in a second after I turn it back to you. But my point is, they have time, once free agency begins, to decide if they want to keep these guys or not. They don't have to cut them before the start of the new league year. And Tony Pollard has no new money due to him on any day of the league year. So they could cut Tony Pollard in June and it would save the same amount of money as if they cut him right now. So I think they could wait and see Do we actually get Wandale Robinson? Is Alec Pierce actually on the market? Are we going to commit $27 million a year to Alec Pierce? Okay, if so, now we can make the decision to cut Calvin Ridley. They don't have to do that, all that stuff, before free agency opens. They might still do it anyway because, you know, they cut Lloyd Cushenberry before he free agent. Like, they're saving the money where they don't see the value of the contract meeting the quality of play. I think that's sort of the strategy right now. But they can wait. My point is they can wait on these moves, and it doesn't, like, cost them any cap space or money to do so.
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth because I get the case-by-case basis. You know, players have different guarantees that are sometimes triggered on different days for different reasons. But with that said, you know, it is interesting that they got a pretty quick start on Lloyd Cushenberry and Xavier Woods. Like, they made those decisions earlier than I expected them to. And now maybe we're talking about, you know, if it doesn't come today, you know, maybe we're a day late or a day or two late on the expected, you know, L'Jarius Sneed or Ridley and Pollard conversation. So all that to say, Mike Borgonzi is going to take this, I think, case by case. He's going to assess each player. And again, the intricacies of the contract play a big role, right? Like, in terms of as you're looking up, I think this guy's due this on this day. That tends to drive, you know, these decisions.
Right, exactly. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk trade targets. I'll update you on the exact date that Calvin Ridley and L'Jarius Sneed get extra money. And we'll be right back.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This Mother's Day, give her something she'll truly use and absolutely love. Minky Couture blankets are the perfect mix of beauty, comfort, and luxury. From elegant neutrals to spring florals, there's a style just for her. Say thank you with softness that lasts far beyond the day. She deserves it. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.
All right, welcome back, Music City Audible Podcast. Justin, L'Jarius Sneed has $7.5 million of his 2026 salary fully guaranteed the fifth day of the league year. So March 11th is the first day. You got 11, 12, 13, 14. That's March 15th, I think. Maybe March 16th, but I think March 15th, $7.5 million for Sneed. And then Calvin Ridley has $3.02 million guaranteed on March 16th and another $1 million in roster bonus on the fifth day of the league year. So the Titans basically have till March 15th to cut these guys before they incur a cap penalty, I guess. Like, it wouldn't be as worth it if they cut them after that date. For Tony Pollard, this is the last year of his contract, so there's no post-June 1st, pre-June 1st difference. And there's no roster bonus or guaranteed money that goes into effect on any day. They could cut Tony Pollard in August if they wanted to, and it'd be the same cap savings as if they cut him today. So that's where things stand on the potential Titans roster moves. I do think, if we're just talking those really quick, Peter Skoronski, Jeffrey Simmons extensions, I do think those are coming at some point before the start of the 2026 season, but I don't think there's any reason to worry about those until August, around the time you signed Amani Hooker to an extension last year. Maybe it gets done before that if both sides are really agreeable, but there's no need to prioritize that right now with free agency about to start.
Well, I think the most important thing is the dates that you know, March 15th, that's the deadline to me for L'Jarius Sneed and Calvin Ridley. Today's what, March 3rd? So Borgonzi's still got about 12 days before he feels any pressure to make those decisions.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Justin, trade market. We got five big names that are reportedly on the trade block around the NFL. There's a lot of players and teams that might be looking to move some big-time stars, some guys who are not as big as stars. But the one that stands out to me, and we're going to talk about five guys, but the one that stands out to me the most is Max Crosby, because the Titans were recently listed, I think it was Bet Online,
yeah,
had the Titans as the second highest, the second most favorite, the second lowest odds, I guess, second highest odds, the second most favorable odds to land Max Crosby, Max Crosby next team odds. Titans were second on that list behind the Bears. In what world would that move make sense? Now, are you telling me if you could trade the fourth overall pick for Max Crosby, would that be an overpay? Would that be enough to get Max Crosby away from the Raiders? And would you do that, Justin? I mean, Max Crosby is likely better than any player you could draft at number four overall, but you don't get him at the cost-controlled rate of a fourth overall pick, and you don't get him for his early 20s. He's a 29-year-old player. Would you make that move if you were Mike Borgonzi and it was available to you?
I would not, and I think Max Crosby's a hell of a pass rusher, one of the best in the NFL, but he is like 30, right? The timelines don't align. The cost is too great. I would trade for him if I was the Chicago Bears, who I think are number one on that list. They've got the 25th pick. I might do that straight up if I'm the Bears, based on coming off of a playoff win, having Caleb Williams at quarterback, having these high expectations now that you've had a good season. The New England Patriots should be all over it with their 31st pick with Mike Vrabel, for all the same reasons. Obviously a very deep playoff run, Super Bowl. I think they got to get better at pass rush. I think the timeline's a lot. They've got the young quarterback thing going for them as well. No way. Like, first of all, the Titans, the fourth pick, I wouldn't do it. And the Raiders are within their right to be expecting a first-round pick, by the way. They're probably going to ask for a first-round pick and more, but I kind of caveat that with, because the pick they're actually going to get is going to be like 25th overall, 30th overall, because it's going to come from a contender. It's not going to come from the Titans, right, who have the fourth pick. I love Max Crosby. I think he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. I actually think he's a little underrated. I think he's better than some of the pass rushers that have a better reputation than he does. But no, the Titans, rebuilding team, 30-year-old pass rusher, big contract, high asking price with the number four pick. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for where this team is at. And you know, Justin, something that bothers me about this entire conversation is that I've gotten a lot of pushback on the Titans should draft Jeremiah Love at four thing. And I'm not trying to bring it up on every single episode, but if it comes up, it comes up. And the thing that people keep telling me is a contending team should add that running back as like the final piece, the cherry on top. The Eagles signing Saquon Barkley in 2024, and then they go win the Super Bowl because they had a roster that was ready for that one last piece. And I get that. I think that's a fair and valid argument. I just don't think that it applies to the running back position specifically. I think it applies to good players. And by good players, I mean elite players. In general, I think it applies to the Bears and the Patriots with the edge position. The Bears and the Patriots don't need to go add Jeremiah Love to take them over the top, because that's not the piece they are missing. They need to add a Max Crosby or a Trey Hendrickson. We can have the. I think we should have a quick Trey Hendrickson conversation, because it's been a talking point on the Twitter timeline today, and it loops. It's like philosophically tied to the Max Crosby conversation. So the Titans, if they were about to be a Super Bowl, if they made the playoffs last year and felt like they were one piece away, that one piece could be a playmaker on offense like the Eagles when they added Saquon Barkley, or that one piece could be an edge rusher, a premium pass rusher to help you close out games and get after the quarterback, which is where the Bears and the Patriots are. I feel the exact same way about Trey Hendrickson as I do about Max Crosby, with the exception, the difference being that you wouldn't have to give up a pick to get Trey Hendrickson. The other difference is Trey Hendrickson's 2 years older and has a pretty, at this point, lengthy injury history after he missed 10 games last season at 31 years old. That, to me, feels like a L'Jarius Sneed situation waiting to happen. And Sneed was much younger than Hendrickson is. But in terms of, like, you sign this guy, is he going to be healthy and play for 17 games? I mean, injuries don't get better when you're in your 30s. They get worse. We've seen that with how many different Titans players when they sign an older player, usually a receiver, sometimes a cornerback, and then they've been injured a little bit in recent years, and they get to the Titans, and it just gets worse because why? They're older. So I'll let you speak too, but this is how I feel about edge position, is that any position, any premium player, whether it's a premium position or a non-premium position, can be that cherry on top. It depends on how your roster is constructed and where you're at in terms of being a true contender. The Titans are not a Max Crosby or a Trey Hendrickson away from contending, the same way they're not a Reuben Bain or David Bailey or Arvell Reese or Jeremiah Love away from contending. And that's my whole argument, is add the best players you can add, but also it has to make sense for your timeline in your rebuild, and these edge rushers don't.
Yeah, I'm all the way out on the Trey Hendrickson thing. I don't get it at all. I'm just as out as I am on Crosby. I agree. And there's the difference with the Crosby you got to trade capital for, so you can make the argument that it's worse. But I also think that Hendrickson's actually a worse fit because he's 2 years older and more injured. So I'm all the way out. And I'm going to limit your ability to respond to my next point, because this is quickly turning into the Jeremiah Love show. But it is interesting that you point out the Saquon Barkley Eagles thing, and I could make the argument that pretty much every team that has added that kind of piece at running back was closer, though. Like the Eagles and Saquon are not a one-off example. When the 49ers went to go get McCaffrey, they were contenders. The Ravens signed Derrick Henry, they were contenders. The Packers signed Josh Jacobs, they were contenders. Now, you could push back and say, you know, well, look at the Raiders. You know, they drafted Ashton Jinty last year. They obviously weren't contenders. Now, every team is different, but obviously that backfired miserably for them. I'll just kind of point out that at least in year one, it backfired miserably. Clint Kubiak might be able to get that quickly on track with Fernando Mendoza, but for now, not looking like the right decision when you're 3-14, end up with the number one pick. It's just interesting that when you said the Saquon Philly thing, you brought up that example and you kind of said it was that one. And in my head, I went, well, all of them were content, like the 49ers, the Packers, the Ravens, all of them were contenders.
Yeah, I think that what's getting misconstrued in my push for Jeremiah Love is, first of all, I am not team Jeremiah Love or bust. Like, I think I'm down to four. I may have said this yesterday. It's, to me, it's Love, Bain, Reese, or Sonny Styles. If you like really want to go defense, you could take one of those three defenders. If you really want the best, potentially best player and definitely best offensive player in the draft, you go Jeremiah Love. To me, this is where it gets misconstrued, is I am not pushing the Titans need a premier running back take. I'm pushing use your draft resources in the best way possible. And that could like sound completely contrary to, you know, common thought to some people, because I'm saying not to use your draft resources at the top of the draft on a premium position. But what I'm saying is draft the best possible player.
Right. Use it on a premium.
Yeah. Sure. Get a potential actual superstar on the roster on one of the rosters that has the fewest superstars of any team in the NFL. Like, there are, Jeffrey Simmons isn't even a true superstar on the national level.
Yes,
he's the closest thing the Titans have. He's not a true superstar.
Year.
How many commercials is Jeffrey Simmons in?
I don't love using that. I feel like the reputation around Jeffrey Simmons did improve even more so this year. We knew it. I think it expanded. Like, you've got guys going on national television saying he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, or he's going to win it next year. You got prospects at the Combine saying Jeffrey Simmons is who I watch. I do think Jeffrey Simmons has sort of surpassed the "we know he's a star, but we only know it here" sort of reputation. I do think he's crossed over into the national spotlight.
I think he is a national star. Okay, this is getting very semantical here, but it is a fun conversation. He's crossed into star territory, but he hasn't reached super. Like, superstar is a rare club. I mean, you got to be one of, like, the people that the NFL fans who don't study every team thinks of when they think of, like, a position group. And, you know, getting the All-Pro nod last season and getting his first double-digit sack season, I think Simmons is on his way. And I think under Robert Saleh, if the Titans aren't a 3-14 team for the third straight year, he could absolutely break through into being an actual superstar. But my point is, it doesn't matter if he is or isn't. The point is, the Titans need more of them. And Jeremiah Love has the chance to be one.
I agree. They've only got one in Jeffrey Simmons.
And Love has the best chance of any player in the draft class to be a superstar, a legitimate Saquon Barkley-level superstar. I mean, Barkley was the second overall pick, right? Jeremiah Love could be third, fourth, maybe he falls to 7, 8, whatever. But he's that guy. So to me, that's what gets misconstrued for me is it's not about, I'm not pushing like the Titans need to add a running back because they need a running back. I'm pushing the Titans should add Jeremiah Love because he's the best playmaker in the draft and the Titans need playmakers and they need superstars. And I get it that a lot of contending teams have added that running back as the cherry on top piece. My argument here and why this conversation started is because the edge rusher can also be that cherry on top piece. Like the Bills signing Von Miller, obviously that didn't work out for them last year, the two years ago, or signing Joey Bosa last year. Like
the Rams
there's always
him in and they went to win a Super Bowl when he was
exactly
the last.
Exactly
I'm at the free throw line right now because you got a flagrant foul for running out of time on the Jeremiah Love thing.
Okay, fair.
Well, go watch yesterday's episode if you want the Jeremiah Love show. Who are the other three trade candidates?
All right, there's four more trade candidates, we're going to be quicker on these, but let's do these four after our last break. All right, four other trade candidates the Titans might target this offseason or in the next week or so. Another edge rusher. Let's go to the edge rusher market because we're talking to edge rushers a lot. The Giants have made no secrets about it. They are willing and wanting to trade Kayvon Thibodeau. We can keep this one pretty brief. First of all, what do you think it would cost to get Kayvon Thibodeau? Because it might be worth it if it's a day three pick, but I don't know that the Giants would part with him for that after they spent five overall.
I think it's a third round pick, I would guess. Probably want a second, maybe settle for a third.
So are you in or out on Kayvon Thibodeau to the Titans?
I'm out on it pretty much. Yeah, I'm totally out. I think we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not trying to hold like a personal grudge or anything like that. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau is a Mike Borgonzi guy. I'd be shocked if he was in terms of character, locker room culture, all that. I don't think he's going to be a Mike Borgonzi guy, but we can keep this one short.
Yeah, I think there are players that, you know, arrogance on its own is not necessarily always bad for a locker room and a team, like swagger, confidence, all that. But Kayvon Thibodeau seems to have some of the most unearned arrogance of any player in the league, and he's only gotten worse, basically, since he entered the, like, his rookie year was pretty good.
Very naturally talented football player, but hasn't exactly been the double-digit sack guy every year that he's capable of being.
And there's a reason the Giants don't want him anymore and want to try to get something for him versus just letting him walk. So I'm out on Kayvon Thibodeau as well. We got three more guys we're going to hit. The next one is interesting just because there's rumors swirling about it. Tremaine Edmonds. Yeah. Now, I believe Jeremy Fowler wrote in a piece that the Titans are interested in a high-level linebacker or targeting or seeking something, some wording like that, that the Titans want a high-level linebacker. They want to add one of those to this team. And then it was like, well, Tremaine Edmonds might be available, so maybe the Titans would be interested in Tremaine Edmonds. And some people reported this as like, the Titans want to go trade for Tremaine Edmonds. It's like, that's not quite how it was reported. You're conflating a report with a speculative follow-up to that report. If it was for like a fourth-round pick or even a fifth-round pick where the Titans have multiple, I'm not saying I'm out on it, but I'm not necessarily in on it either. I think the Titans, like linebackers, as much as we have the premium position conversation, like you really can find linebackers later in the draft or in free agency or a guy that has played for Robert Saleh with Quincy Williams without having to spend the draft capital and pay the player. So I think I'm out on this one as well.
I'm kind of hoping the Titans don't do something like big at linebacker, but I think I'm willing to acknowledge that they might just because of how much appreciation Robert Saleh has for the position. And listen, he knows better than I do for sure. He might see it as something that could transform his defense, and he knows a lot about defense, so it wouldn't totally blow me away, but I'm kind of hoping they don't. I'm out on the trading for Tremaine Edmonds thing. because I think they're probably just going to cut him in Chicago. So if you are interested in him, probably afford to wait this one out.
Yeah, just be patient, right? All right, two more names. Another Chicago Bear. Looking at the wide receiver position here. This guy, I'm not sure is as publicly on the block, but the idea has certainly been floated, especially by Chicago beat writers, that DJ Moore could be moved this offseason. DJ Moore famously acquired by the Bears in that trade where they sent the first overall pick to the Carolina Panthers. They took Bryce Young. The Bears got the Panthers' first-round pick the following year, ended up with Caleb Williams, and DJ Moore was part of that trade haul. Pretty awesome trade for Chicago. Imagine being a Bears fan, you get that trade. Anyway, DJ Moore, interesting player to me. I think he is, you know, he's getting up there now, moving past his prime years into a, like the veteran receiver mold, where his thing has sort of always been like his speed was elite. He could just straight up run away from people. I remember in the preseason when he scored a 60-yard touchdown on a screen against the Titans one year, years ago. And that's sort of his calling card. Now, the further along he gets in his career, the less that speed is going to be an advantage. He's going to lose a step. And at what point does he become just a guy? I think he might be there already.
Yeah, I think he's pretty close to his possession receiver years. And it really concerns me that he took such a big step back under a brilliant offensive-minded coach in Ben Johnson, with a much better offense and with the quarterback taking off, and obviously the coach, you know, being the genius that he is. If DJ Moore wasn't outstanding for Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, I have a hard time seeing him being outstanding for the Tennessee Titans. I'm pretty out on DJ Moore.
I am too. And this is getting boring because we're like, well, the Titans aren't going to trade for any of these guys.
This is real life, ladies and gentlemen. You come to this pod for realism. The Titans should not trade for any of these guys.
We have one more name on the list, and then I'm going to give the sweeping conclusion about the Titans making a trade for a player. The last name is the just for controversy's sake, A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown will be leaving Philadelphia this offseason. I think that's almost a foregone conclusion. I've heard some other stuff, some insider stuff, that like he's out. Like A.J. Brown's out of there. He wants no part in returning to Philly. As much as it's like being floated right now that it's like, oh, his camp is considering an alternative. It's like, no, I've heard pretty good authority. He actually wants out. That doesn't mean he wants to come back to Nashville. And I do think that A.J. Brown's trade market is, you're not going to get him for the same. The Eagles are not going to get the same return that the Titans got, because it's, what, 4 years later? But you are going to get close to it. I think you could get two picks. I think you could get a first. If it's one pick, you could probably still get a first. And I don't see any reason the Titans should make that move. Like, if they wanted A.J. Brown, they should have just never traded him. And obviously, it's different regimes, so it's hard to say that. But look, A.J. Brown is not coming back to the Titans.
Align the universes, I would have loved to see an A.J. Brown in the Cam Ward years. And I'll be honest with you, would I trade the 35th pick for A.J. Brown? I might. He's still kind of young, right? Like, if the cost was... we're talking about taking a receiver at 35. Give me my edge rusher or your running back at number 4. And then give me A.J. Brown at 35. I think I'd sign up for that. He's not 30. What is he? I don't know what he is, but he's definitely not 30. Maybe 27, 26, 27 tops.
He turns 29 in June.
Ooh, wow. Okay. A little older than I thought.
Degenerative knee issues. Maybe degenerative is the wrong word, but you know, he's had some knee issues that have had to be managed throughout his career, dating back to when he was in Tennessee.
Yes, 29. Did we say Max Crosby's 29? I didn't think they were the same age.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Well, he's 28 right now, but he'll be 29 in June, which is before the season starts, obviously. Yes. So, I mean, he is about to move into that phase of his career. Past his prime, like, he's going to have to start relying more on veteran savvy than like pure athleticism. Like, he's reaching that point. And I don't think that the Titans, like, if the Titans want a receiver at 35, I guess this is like the Treylon Burks conversation again. Like, oh, you could just draft his replacement. But I do think it's like, you're not going to get the A.J. Brown that's in your brain.
Right. You're not going to get the remember one you've got for the last 3 years, probably, right? Or whatever.
Right. So I'm out on it just because of where he's at in his career now. Like, I think he, like, you do this 2 years ago, or when you traded him originally, then yeah, I want that AJ Brown, but I don't necessarily want 2026 AJ Brown. I think
2026 AJ Brown. I don't know that I want 2027 AJ Brown. That might be where the problem starts.
Right. Yeah. Fair. So that's where I'm at. And the ultimate opinion I have on the Titans trading for any player, any of these five, or drop trade targets that you think the Titans might be interested in the comments, and we'll go in there and reply if we think it's realistic or not. But I will just say, Mike Borgonzi is not giving up a top 100 pick for anyone. Like, he's just not going to. I played the clip on the show last week of him in Indianapolis saying, if you want to build it right, you have to build through the draft. And I have another take on this, Justin, which is completely irrelevant to actual roster construction. It's more related to the fan experience. But I do think that there is an inane psychological reason for what I'm about to say that has to do with why it's better to build through the draft. Now, think about it this way, Justin. Fan bases grow attached to the players they draft. They don't necessarily get as attached to players you sign in free agency. There's something about drafting a player, that homegrown talent, that makes a city feel like he's ours. Whereas with a free agent signing, now it's not always. Like, Delanie Walker is a perfect example of a free agent signing that the city felt like he's ours.
Right.
And that kind of free agent signing happens when they're like a backup for their career, or they're underrated for their career. They come to your team and your team gives them a chance to really shine. Those are the rare instances where a free agent signing feels like your guy. And I do think Ryan Tannehill for a period felt like our guy in Nashville, but that was a similar thing. It was Walker.
Very good at the last spot.
Exactly. It's like the Dolphins gave up on him and we found him. We're like, you guys give up on this guy, we actually can get the most out of him. So I do think that there's some free agents where it does apply to. But for the most part, when you draft somebody and they hit, like, that's your freaking guy, man. That's our guy. That's our city's guy or guys. And I think that, like, again, this doesn't have any actual like correlation to roster building and developing through the draft. But I do think there's something like that we can draw a little bit of a connection psychologically to it, because we understand what it means to spend a fifth round pick on somebody and he becomes a starter or a Pro Bowler or whatever. Because like the investment was, didn't have to be that big, and you are proud of your scouts for finding that guy, and you're proud of that guy for reaching his potential or exceeding what people thought his potential was. Anyway, I do think like building through the draft creates that culture in the locker room, that homegrown, we're doing this thing together, which the fans kind of feel, and that's where the correlation exists. But I don't think the Titans are going to go deal a third round pick for a veteran player that hasn't come up in this culture, that hasn't been one of these homegrown guys. And that's why I brought that up, and that's how I feel.
I'm going to end the show on this note, if you don't mind. I think the actual correlation to roster building, if you don't mind, isn't the whole fan thing. It's that you get, you know, it's an opportunity to get younger. It's an opportunity to get cheaper, which GMs love. And part of what you said at the end there, finally, is that it's a chance to bring a guy up in your culture from the very beginning. And you set the culture as the general manager on your terms, because you are bringing a guy in fresh out of college. They knew who Shimeray DK was, right? They knew who Alec Iaman, they knew who Cam Ward was. Those are the guys they want to build this culture around. And you have a better opportunity to do that when you're the first team to get their hands on them. And you got to do all this pre-draft work on them as well, meeting them, bringing them into the facility. Kayvon Thibodeau's not visiting the Titans facility before they trade for him, right? Like, you're kind of relying on secondhand account and maybe your memory of the pre-draft process with him. You get to bring in guys fresh out of college. You set the culture. That's how it correlates to roster building and building through the draft. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We will be back tomorrow. Talk more about the Tennessee Titans. Maybe we'll have some news to discuss. Maybe we'll talk more for the agency draft. We'll see where the winds take us. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.
You've probably heard every back pain solution out there, but did you know it's actually possible to heal your own spine and discs? Disc problems are the leading cause of back pain, and the Uprightly program was built specifically to address them. Instead of masking symptoms or relying on invasive procedures, Uprightly uses science-based spine restoration methods that help you rebuild a healthier spine. And the best part? It's something you do right at home. Your Uprightly coach guides you every step of the way, and they provide the specialized equipment you need to restore your spine, protect it from re-injury, and measure your progress. Many people notice pain improvement in just a few days, but temporary relief isn't the goal. The Uprightly program helps you build a stronger spine for life. And here's something amazing. Many patients even reclaim lost height, with some restoring more than 3 inches. So if you're ready to truly invest in your spine health, Uprightly is the solution you've been waiting for. Learn more at liveuprightly.com. That's liveuprightly.com.
This Mother's Day, give her something she'll truly use and absolutely love. Minky Couture blankets are the perfect mix of beauty, comfort, and luxury. From elegant neutrals to spring florals, there's a style just for her. Say thank you with softness that lasts far beyond the day. She deserves it. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.